Point one, the gift of a decade is where I want to start. I haven't been to Croydon Park for a long, long time. But for 1 year, 1967, I lived in this house, which is in Croydon Park, just around George's River Road there. And I lived there when I was 21 with six other fellas who were all in their 21, 22, 23. And we spent a year there in our first year of Moore College. About 6 months ago, the fifth of the seven of us died. So there's only two of us now left. It's very sobering as you start to see the world closing in. I rang the other bloke, who's a lovely friend of, been a friend and colleague in ministry all our lives, and I said, "How are you feeling?" He said, "It's closing in, isn't it?" And it is. That's just the realities, you see. You go through phases of life, don't you? All kinds of phases. One of the phases that many of us are in the prime time is launching the kids. That's getting harder, thanks to the cost of real estate, but launching the kids. Another is farewelling our parents. And around the prime time, it happens, kind of two things happen at the same time, roughly, that's taking. But it's also a time when we get over the hump of some of the kinds of pressures and stresses of life. In your 20s and 30s, life is full and easy and happy, but in your 40s to 60s, that's where the pressure life happens. That's where life is pressured, as the job, as the mortgage, as the kids, as everything is loading on you. And then you come back out to what is actually an easier period of life again. And so it's that prime time that I'm talking of here. What we have is something extraordinary. That is, we have the gift of a decade. That's what we have. That chart, that shows us what I'm talking about, the gift of the decade, because in 1964, males lived on median age was 68.1, females 74. But you look to 2021, men are living 10 years longer, women are living 10 years longer. Your chance of becoming 100 back in 64 was 1 in 1,200. Now it's 1 in 72. This is a dramatic change that has happened in, you know, in my lifetime. I'm sorry if some of you are a bit later than my age. Most of you are. But that is a dramatic change. You've been given 10 more years of life than your grandparents, if not your parents. Well, what are you going to do with a gift of a decade? If you're given 10 more years, and of course some of us won't be, because like my friends from Bhatar Grades, they're dead, but what would you do if you are given 10 more years? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. For in Hebrews chapter 13, with verses 5 to 8, given something of an interesting challenge on the outcome of life. I'm reading from verse 5. "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I'll not fear. What can man do to me?' Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever." What are you going to do in the next 10 years? What is going to be the outcome of your life? What is it that people are going to say about you in your obituary or at your funeral or Thanksgiving service? I have a friend who didn't get his extra 10 years. He died of cancer. But beforehand, the last 10 years, he retired when he was 62, died when he was 77. So, you know, he had 15 years. But basically what he did was played golf every day of the week. 7 days a week he played golf. I wasn't a Christian friend. Every day he played golf. He was a very good golfer. But, of course, He didn't get better as he got older. But that was his life. 18 holes every week. He said to me, the only thing that matters is keeping your health. And, of course, that was the one thing he couldn't do. And so the last 2 or 3 years, he didn't play anything except doctors. Now, that's the way with men. 20 to 40, men don't see their doctor. 40 to 60, they see their doctor regularly. Over 60, we see our doctors, plural. That's the kind of change that happens to us, you see. You've got to take that on board as the realities of life. But notice verse 5, it says, be free from the love of money. See, you can spend your rest of your life playing golf. That can be your image of what retirement is like. But most of you, I trust, would say that's pretty pathetic. It really is. That's the best thing that gets, you know, golf's a good walk ruined, I think. But Bernard Shaw said. And so, what do you do? Well, free for the love of money. Do you remember Scrooge's Donald Duck's uncle? Right, was Scrooge, and he had a love of money. So when I used to read verses like this as a young man or as a child, I thought of him. See, how do you love money? Well, that of course is an absurdity. How you love money is loving the power that money gives you to do things. But what things? Our society has been very good at acquiring possessions. But we've also found that acquiring more possessions doesn't make us happy or content. And so possessions are no longer the chief way of loving money in our society. No. Travel is the chief way now. Spend our time travelling down the rivers of Europe looking at castles. See, there are some people who live and there are some people who photograph people who live. And this is what they do. I'll go to this place, I'll go to this one, I'll go to that one. And so it's really sad. You see, it's not possessions, but world travel is just materialism in a new form, the current form. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Nothing right with doing that. It's just, is that what you spend your life doing? See, I'm a world traveller. I've travelled all kinds of places. Not doing that one, the grey nomad. That's the Australian cheap way of going down European rivers, you see. But it's the same thing, isn't it? But that's not my travelling either. But I'm more a world traveller, you see. There I am at Red Square, you see, and now I'm also been to Paris and the Taj Mahal, you know, and Egypt. And I do it all very quickly because you notice I never change my shirt. You know? It's a very speedy thing. Actually, I've got a new travel agency that's getting me to do this. Its initials are AI. And so, what do? You go there, have a photograph of yourself in front of, if you like me, I've got 1,000 photos in my phone and I never look at them. And if I show them to anyone, they're bored within 2 or 3 minutes. No one's interested in your photos. And if you want a photo, especially a photographer of my quality, it's better to use AI. Because I don't have my thumb in the corner of the screen and the rest of it. So you get actually good photographs. It's a complete waste of life and time to do it. But more and more people are doing it. Not just prime time people, young people are doing it. They can't afford houses, so they save up, working for 6 months, then they go on a 6 week tour, then they come back and off they go again. It's just as meaningless as playing golf every day. What is the outcome of your life? Remember your leaders, verse 7. Look at the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. You might remember just a couple of chapters earlier in Hebrews, there's a long list of the great heroes and heroines of faith, isn't there? Look at the outcome of their faith and imitate their lives. Because Jesus doesn't change. Right? Fashions come, fashions go, fads, but Jesus doesn't change. So I thought what we'd do is look at a couple of middle-aged spies back in Numbers chapter 13. I won't do it from Numbers 13, but that's where you can find about it. You know the events. As they came to the edge of the promised land, Moses sent in 12 spies to spy out the land. 10 came back and said, it's full of giants, it's full of big cities, there's no way we can conquer that. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, the Lord's on our side, we'll take that land. But the people said, no, the giants are too big, the cities are too big, we can't do this. And so God sent them on a wandering 40 years as that generation all died in the wilderness before he brought back another generation who would, under Joshua, go into the promised land. So Joshua, the great spy, in his middle age, came as an old man to conquer Palestine, Israel, Canaan, or whatever you're going to call that land. And he did. But that's the point I'd draw your attention to if we go to the book of Joshua, because that's easier. And as we look at the two old spies, the first one, of course, is Joshua. And in chapter 24, right at the end of his life, when we're told in verse 29 he's 110 years old by then, he says, verse 13, God said, I gave you land on which you had not laboured and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive orchards that you didn't plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's an old man, but he still sees his life in terms of serving the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it's the Lord our God who brought us out and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Who is your God? And what has he done for you? And when did you come into his family? And do you know the grace? Lovely to hear, knowing the grace come. Wonderful. Come to Ephesians 2. Thank you so much for that reminder in itself. Do you know the grace of God in saving you? Yeah. I'm always amused by Americans. Sorry if there's any here, but they are very amusing people. You know, they love to sing Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Is that your experience? You're one who really actually does know that you were lost and that you have been found. I mean, it was a long, long time ago for me. You know, it was back in the 1950s when I was found. And I can never forget that I was lost and now I'm found. And as I watch my friends who were also lost but not found, destroying their lives, how kind God has been over all these years. How can I not wish to serve him in my senior years? Well, of course, it's the other spy who is even of greater interest, isn't he? Back in Joshua 14, here's the other one. Caleb, verses 6 to 14. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trod trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you are wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said these 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke his word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, as you heard on that day, how Anakim, the giants, were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord has said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. And therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. The man who follows the word of God wholly at 40 is the man who will be doing it at 85. Not every one of us is going to retain our health at 85. You know, five of my friends didn't get to 70. We live with different bodies, don't we? Some of us are healthy, some of us are not. But if the Lord spare me, he has spared me to do his work. And so I say, okay. Hebrews 13 tells me to remember the leaders. Look at the outcome of their life and follow their faith. I can't think of anyone more like that than Caleb to look at. He may not be my pastor in particular, and I could talk about this pastor, that pastor, these people who have helped me, but you do not know them, or I do not know your ones. Let's stick to the Bible one. Caleb, he's a great one, isn't he? 85 and he's still up for the fight. That's what I want to be like. I've got several years to go. That's what I want to be like. If the Lord should spare me to 85 or 95, whatever's five, that's what I want to be. And that is the faith of the man of 40. Because he accepted that the giants were nothing compared to God. If the Lord had given them this land, the Lord would give them this land. And so he wouldn't melt in fear. Well, that's what Hebrews says. What man can hurt me? Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, forever. So therefore, there is no retirement in Christian ministry. There is an Anglican ministry, and I don't disagree with that. It's ageist, but I believe in it. Because I think once you get to 70, the senior pastor of a church is a very, very onerous task to be doing. And I'm glad that I was given the freedom to leave that behind. But while I leave that ministry behind, it doesn't mean I leave ministry behind. It just means I've got to find different ministry. And that's what this is about. Finding different ministry, finding your way through whichever pathway God has opened for you. But rest assured, there's many a mountain to be taken at the moment in Australia. And there's more opportunities and needs than you can shake a stick at. And so therefore we've just got to be working out, well, what do I do next? Where do I go next? I don't work as hard as I used to when I was 40. I can't do it. But that doesn't mean I don't work as hard as I can at my present age. Because God gives me the health, he gives me the strength to be used. God's given me another decade. And that decade is to be used for him. He's given us all another decade. Well, let's not go travelling around the world or around Australia or whatever, other, play golf or take up tennis. I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing golf. If you want to. Mercifully, God has given me such arthritis in my hands I can't anymore, so I've given my golf sticks away. That was an easy thing over which I could be self-righteous. You see. I don't play golf. I wouldn't do that. I mean, we're all different, aren't we, as to what's happening? But we're not different if we're in the Lord. For our task is to continue to serve him. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the Lord needs many servants these days in the country of Australia and overseas as well. And several of my friends, turning 70, no longer able to be the rectors of churches, went out with the Missionary Society to help out in other churches overseas. There's opportunities, lots of them, as many as there are stories in this room. So this fellowship, and I'm glad Ying and the team have started it up again, this fellowship is really important. We need to help each other through this, whatever phase of life we're in. I'm going to lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for all the good things you give to us. Thank you for those who have gone before us. Thank you for those who have laboured over us. Thank you for their lives, their witness. Thank you, Father, that we can look to them, see the outcome of their lives, and imitate their faith. Mm-hmm. So help us, please, Father, to be like Joshua, to be like Caleb, men and women who will not be scared of the giants, but will stand up for you, knowing that you and through you we can do all kinds of things in the gospel of Jesus. And so please, Father, give to us that spirit that you have given to so many of your servants down the centuries, that we might continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord, as we proclaim ourselves as the servants of the people we seek to reach, because Jesus is our Lord. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.